glad you're here every day. I'm particularly glad you're here today, because it's Easter. And that's a big deal in the church. And we're going to talk about why it's a big deal, because that's what we do on Easter. But first, we have some other things to do, right? What's next? Let's see. Oh, I've got to actually pray. Yeah, I got to pray. Welcome. Glad you are here.
Glad you're here too, Dan.
Thank you. I'm glad I'm here too. There was a time I wasn't sure I'd be here, but I'm here.
So. I like your hair.
You like my hair? Thanks a lot for nothing. We're going to take a break from Revelation, a little bit of a break from Revelation, and talk about the resurrection. So we're going to do that today. Let's start with a word of prayer, and then we will have a special group of people read the scripture. Yeah. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for Easter and the opportunity to celebrate it together this year, which is kind of important. Lord, we are in awe of what you did for us on the cross. And we are grateful for the empty tomb, the fact that you showed the power of God and the approval of God for your sacrifice for our sins. We are so grateful for that, Lord. And we're grateful for the promise of new life, the promise of a resurrection, that we will not be stuck in these bodies, these decaying bodies, all of eternity, that you will resurrect us and transform us, God. Thank you for transforming our minds right now. I pray you would continue that work, Lord, and make us fit to be citizens of heaven. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We have some scripture readers.
Dan, we need a mic.
We need a mic.
Yes, we do.
Wait, I'm
number one.
Let me
stand.
Yes.
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 Yes. So they're going to line up. First, I would say some of you families with younger children may not know this, but another family has been praying for you for like the last 3 weeks, and then they filled up a bag. So before you leave today, you're going to get your bag from that family. Now, if you brought a bag, they're on that back table so that I could see them, because I thought they were really pretty. Before, as soon as church is over, if your family made a bag for another family, go get the bag and find the family and hand it to them. So I don't see Megan and little George. I also don't see Hope and Sienna. So if you made a bag for them, I get to keep their prayers and their stuff. Yay! I did get a text today from Easter Bunny. He's planning to be here, out front. So as soon as service is over, Blazers, all the kids, Blazers included, go out to the front, and we're going to get our annual picture. After that, there will be an egg hunt for the Explorers. So we will give you a bag. You will hunt your eggs. What's my rule about when to open the eggs? After you leave the building. So with that, scripture.
Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance.
She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put it." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and was with him first. He stopped and looked in the tomb and saw linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and then he saw and believed, for until then they hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. Then they went home. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said.
As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you."
The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And of course we're going to have an Easter egg hunt. And looks like we're going to have our fancy Easter slideshow that we haven't seen in like 2 years now. So we're excited about that. Are we going to have that? Is that legit? That's pretty cool. But I wanted to say a few things about Easter from this passage of Scripture. I love how the drama team emphasized, you know, the first advent of Jesus, how he, the first time he came, it was, you know, to save us, to take care of us, to save our problem of sin. But the next time he comes, he's going to evict some tenants.
Oh, yeah.
So we need to take advantage of that, don't we? You know, grace extends. The patience of the Lord is amazing, but it won't endure forever. He's a lot more patient than you or I, certainly more patient than me, right? But I just wanted to talk about several things about the resurrection that I learned, that my takeaway is from the death and resurrection of Christ. And three things that it gives me that are essential for my life and my spiritual life. And those things are hope, confidence, and peace. And we grow in those things. I think the resurrection gives us hope, confidence, and peace. I think the part of the hope that resurrection gives me is the knowledge that this life isn't everything. It's not the whole thing. So when things go wrong, it's okay. Kind of the warm-up. And this life is God's gift to us. He wants it to be fruitful. But when it's over, it's just the beginning. When this life is over, it's just the beginning. And I have hope that my dad is in heaven and that I will see him again and his theology will be perfect.
Amen.
And he probably won't even need to brag about it. I have hope that I'll see Sujin.
Yeah.
And we'll take up our friendship right where we left off. I have hope that Jan will be there in heaven with that mischievous look on her face. But this stuff is hard to grasp. And I'm going to spend a lifetime trying to understand, to really comprehend that hope. God has a plan and a purpose for me, and in this lifetime, but it's also forever. I like this scripture, Ephesians 4:18. My prayer is that light will flood your hearts and that you will understand the hope that was given to you when God chose you. Then you will discover the glorious blessings that will be yours together with all God's people. I love that idea that hope isn't something that you have nailed down the first time you get it. It's something that you grow in. You learn. You get more and more, you get stronger and stronger in your hope. And I again want to emphasize that hope isn't like worldly hope. This God's hope is not like worldly hope. Man, I hope I get an A on that test I didn't study for because I was up too late because of the people shouting.
What?
Oh, no, let's stop that. I could use some soup, though.
No soup for you.
This thing's going to go south in a hurry. Bring it in, people. But hope is not like, you know, the hope that can be disappointed. This is genuine hope, and it's a promise. And we have confidence. The second part that I get from the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Christ, is this confidence. There's a difference between confidence and arrogance, isn't there? I have confidence. Jesus went through this first. When I was in Israel, I went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and it was pretty moving. It was one of the most moving times, and I sat there under the olive trees Found out later I wasn't supposed to be sitting there, but I did anyway. And I prayed for a bit, and then I went into the church, and I read John 17, Jesus' high intercessory prayer for us and for the disciples. And I was moved by just the sense of confidence that Jesus had in God, that God would get him through this. I thought about Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane and what he prayed. And it seems maybe like not a lot of confidence, but the first thing he prayed is, Father, if it is possible, could you take this cup from me? And that's interesting when you think about that cup in the context of Revelation that we're going through. What is that cup? What's in that cup? That's God's wrath. See, God is angry at sin, and Jesus was about to drink that, to take that sin into himself and take our punishment for that cup of God's wrath, to take God's wrath on himself. Isn't that amazing that Jesus did that for us? And you get this sense that, well, is he not confident? Does he want God to take it from him? No, he recognizes that he's about to undergo an incredible ordeal. He says, if it's possible. But the next words that he said, those are the hard ones. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done, Father. That's complete submission. And that's complete confidence that God would carry him through it. He trusted God to bring him through it, and God did. I'm so grateful for the stories of Jesus' appearances after the resurrection. He's not a beaten, weary, defeated person, is he? He's powerful. He's confident. He's strong. Yet he's gentle and empathetic in his conversations with John and with Peter and with others. He's strong. I remember when I got hit by a car and I suffered multiple strokes, and I didn't feel very good for a long period of time. In fact, I was completely lacking in confidence. I wasn't confident that I would heal. I wasn't sure that I would ever be the same. I was weak, I was doubtful, I was depressed, and I was anxious for a very long time. And the thing about that is that's not where Jesus was. He went through that time and he was transformed. He was completely confident. He was a new person. He was completely glorified, is the term. And so when I look forward to, when I look to the reality of death someday, I realize that I will be resurrected. I will be transformed. I will be like Jesus in that way. And you will too, if you put your faith in him. And that's a confidence that we have. Jesus said in John 16, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. I love that, because Jesus said it before his crucifixion. He had confidence that God would take care of him and carry out his great purpose. And you can too. Because of the resurrection, you can have that confidence. And I also love the peace that we get from it. Jesus said when he appeared to his disciples, that for the first time he said, peace be unto you. We saw that in this passage a couple of times. He said, have peace. Well, peace has been real easy this last year, right? No, it hasn't. It's been ridiculously tough. There's been all kinds of things that have messed us up with that. Everyone wants peace, right? Peace of mind, no turmoil, rest, comfort. And not just lack of violence and war. Everybody wants true inner peace. I think of in the late 60s when the Beatles went to India to try and find peace, this inner peace, and they hung around the guru there. And turns out they didn't really find peace, they did find weed. And that went really well. It probably felt like peace for a little while. And there's a lot of substitutes that people have for peace. People try all kinds of things. But it doesn't work that way. Jesus promised us peace. And the heart of peace, the foundation of peace, the only way we can have true peace is peace with God. If you don't have peace with God, you're going to be searching for peace all your life in all kinds of ways. You'll never find complete peace. You might find some rest. You might find some comfort, but you won't have true deep peace. And the resurrection, the crucifixion and the resurrection brought us peace. If we don't have peace with God, we'll never find peace, and we'll wear ourselves out searching for it. Jesus said in John 14, I give you peace, the kind of peace that only I can give. It isn't like the peace that this world can give, so don't be worried or afraid. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, the books are balanced. We talked about that last week. The books are balanced. The judgment against sin has already taken place. And I am free from guilt because of Jesus. I am free from sin. The resurrection proved that God was completely satisfied with the price that was paid by Jesus. Jesus' resurrection proved that God was satisfied with Jesus' sacrifice. In fact, as that song that we sing goes, because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God, the just, is satisfied to look on Him and pardon me. So instead of Jesus looking at all your ick, all the stuff in your life that you know is there, you know you've done, if you're honest with yourself, instead of God looking at that, He looks at the sinless, spotless Lamb, Jesus, and says, it's finished. It's done. So because of the resurrection, we can have hope for the future, confidence in our salvation, and peace with God. We can have that because of the resurrection. All right. And now we're going to take the time. I think it's time. Let's do the video. Are we ready for that? We can be. Yeah, let's do the video, and then we're going to do communion together. And I'll
Father, we thank you for this opportunity to do this sacred act that you instituted at your Last Supper, Lord Jesus, to partake of your flesh and your blood, that your body that was broken for us and your blood that was shed for us. I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, will give us a sense of the sacredness and the awesomeness and the meaningfulness of this act, Lord. We can't appreciate what you've done with us except by your Holy Spirit. And we, in your name, Lord Jesus, we loose your Spirit into this room and into every heart here, Lord, to give us a sense of the amazing thing that you've done for us. In your name, Lord Jesus.
Okay.